From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. As always, I'm Justin Spears here with my co-host, Dominic Bachaco. You are listening to the Wildcast podcast. If you want to download the podcast, you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, or you can download the Wildcaster app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play. Dom, we are sitting in studio on this late night after Arizona falls to Utah on the road, and it was not a pretty game. From the start, you kind of felt like Utah was going to be in control for the most part of the game, and they were, although it was a late second half push by Arizona. It was kind of this teeter totter for a little bit, but then Parker Van Dyke went off, started making a bunch of three pointers. Utah went on an 18-2 run in the second half, really extended the lead a little bit. Dom, how do you judge this game? Because now Arizona's lost six consecutive games in Pac-12 play, which hasn't happened since before Lute Olson was here in 1982-83. So here we are talking about these records for Arizona, these milestones, and not really for the good reason.
One of our stat gurus, Mickey.
Shout out, Mickey.
Whose birthday was a couple days ago.
Happy birthday, Mickey.
On the 13th. Happy birthday, Mickey. Shout out, Northern Arizona University.
Go Jacks.
One of our stat gurus, Mickey, pointed out after the game that Arizona has lost as many Pac-12 games in the last 22 days now as they lost over a three-year stretch from 1988 to 1990.
Wow.
Lost five. Wow. Lost five in that stretch with Lute Olson. So, look, it's obviously a different time, but it just puts things in perspective how rare this is for Arizona, how bad this Arizona team is. Look, they're in 10th place in the Pac-12. That's arguably the worst conference we've seen. In a long, long time. They're in 10th place, Washington State and California, who, by the way, comes into McHale Center in a couple weeks, and it's going to be a tie. That might be the game of the year in the Pac-12, Cal and Arizona. Who would have thought?
What were you doing right around the time NFL playoffs were underway, and it was the AFC championships and the NFC championships? What were you doing at that time? I can't even remember what I had for lunch last week, let alone remember what happened at that time. But that was the last time Arizona was actually winning games.
I was watching two great football games is what I was doing.
Exactly. That was the last time Arizona actually won a game. And now they're on this six-game skid, and they got another one on Sunday against Colorado. And Colorado beat ASU, who just beat Washington last week. So now I'm suddenly here thinking, well, Arizona's very capable of losing their seventh consecutive game. And I think they will after looking at a game like Thursday night. But Arizona, you look at their players that they have. Brandon Williams out once again. By the way, warmed up during the game. So it's a positive sign for Arizona that he's going to be back in the mix relatively soon if he's actually warming up. Mm-hmm. Will he be back against Colorado? Maybe Sean Miller's kind of poking him like, hey, man, you gonna be ready for Sunday night? Because we're going to need you.
That one meme.
Hey. But Dylan Smith had 16 points, but was 0-for-6 from three-point range. That's usually his specialty. That's what he does. He's a three-point shooter. He's streaky at it.
You talking Brandon Williams?
No, Dylan Smith. Dylan Sorry. Smith. I'm just looking at the guys from Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Ryan Luther, 14 points, 3 rebounds. Ira Lee, 11 points, 8 rebounds, almost a career high for him. He had 12 points against USC and 12 points against Stanford, so he was right there.
And we'll talk about Ira Lee. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about him.
But Alex Barcelo also had 12 points. The thing I look at is Chase Jeter, 8 points and 6 rebounds. Remember, we talked about this on ESPN Tucson and on the podcast before this one. You take Chase Jeter out of the equation, Arizona's done for. They're toast.
Which teams have done very well.
Yeah. And Wazoo took him out of the equation. Washington took him out of the equation. When he was out against USC and UCLA, teams realized, okay, without that guy, they are vulnerable.
And you see when he's on the court, those two games against UCLA and USC, when he was not even a factor, obviously out with a back injury, they were trounced. I mean, from start to finish, Arizona was, it was, they were blowouts. Two of the worst Arizona losses we've seen in some time. And when he's on the court, he has a presence. He's a guy that opponents have to lock down, but it hasn't been very hard to lock him down.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's not a knock on Chase Jeter. Maybe it's a knock on the rest of the team that they don't really have any other weapons. You talk about Brandon Williams, Dylan Smith, Brandon Randolph being weapons from the outside. I'd let them shoot all day if I was opposing defenses, because they're not going to make anything.
Yeah.
They can't make anything. They're going to take all these threes every single game against Arizona defense, and they're going to make 30% of them. So in saying that, Arizona had one of their best shooting nights, I think, Justin, you said earlier, since Cal.
Yeah. 45% shooting, which is over a month ago, is the best since Cal, because they had just over 50% during that game.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they shot 45%. I mean, when 45% is good.
Yeah.
Is great for this team. That shows you where they're at.
Well, if you were to tell me Arizona is scoring 76 points, final score is 83-76.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like 83-60. That's what the final score
really
Arizona
felt was
like.
Up at halftime. They were winning at halftime. They had a 1-point lead.
Mm-hmm. And with the score being 83-76, if you were to tell me Arizona scoring 76 Thursday night against Utah on the road, I'm going to assume that Arizona's winning that game. Arizona wins 76-70 or any other score. But Parker Van Dyke shooting three-pointers, like he was shooting the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted this out earlier, and I'm glad Greg Hansen included this in his column. It kind of had this feel that Arizona could do nothing to stop Parker Van Dyke. It almost felt like the 2015 Elite Eight when Arizona had no answer for Sam Dekker. Because remember, the year before that, Frank Kaminsky was Mr. Everything for the Badgers. Then the year after that, okay, they take out Frank Kaminsky.
Then
Sam Dekker's just knocking three-pointer after three-pointer and was pretty much the reason why they won that game.
It's bad juju bringing up
I know, I'm sorry,
Sam
Arizona
Dekker
fans.
And Frank Kaminsky in this podcast.
There's two things.
There's a lot of people turning us off right now, Justin.
There's three things you don't talk about with Arizona basketball fans. The 2001 National Championship, blowing the 15-point lead against Illinois in the Elite Eight, and the Elite Eights against Wisconsin. Those are the three things that you should not talk about. But
you
we are
brought up two
well,
of them.
But we are talking about
you
them.
Brought up two of them and mentioned another one.
But they had no answer for Parker Van Dyke.
No, absolutely not. And again, it's now another player that they've allowed to go off. Parker Van Dyke was coming off a big game against UCLA. He hit the buzzer beater that lifted the Utes to a 22-point comeback in the last 10 minutes over UCLA. So he was feeling it, and he said after the game tonight that he brought some of that magic, the Westwood magic that he had home with him to Utah. And he did. You know, when players hit those big shots, it tends to carry over, especially against a team as vulnerable as Arizona. Some big shooting nights in Arizona's now six-game losing streak for opposing shooters. Nick Rakusevich for USC had 27 points. Chris Wilkes for UCLA had 34. Remy Martin, 31 for ASU. Robert Franks, 31 for Wazoo. Parker Van Dyke hit 7 to 10 threes tonight, had 23 points, and, you know, in part with Cedric Bearfield a little bit when he heated up in the second half on that 18-2 run. I mean, it was over. The game was over. Arizona, mm-hmm. You said earlier that Utah was kind of in control. It was kind of going back and forth. Arizona had a 1-point lead at half, but it didn't really feel like it. No one had really staked their claim in the game yet. And, you know what, second half, it was kind of going back and forth for a little bit. You know, Utah jumped out to a little bit of a lead, and then that 18-2 run was done.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no coming back from that. And, it's just one guy again. I mean, Arizona has been outcoached time and time again. Which on that same note, what about Ira Lee tonight? He had 9-6 at half. And Justin, I brought it up earlier on ESPN Tucson earlier Thursday about how he's been pretty much a non-factor in Arizona's previous three losses before Thursday night.
He listened.
After the UCLA-USC trip where he had probably had like 12-8 each game right around there. He had tied a career high 12 against USC. He's been a non-factor in the three games to follow the LA trip. And he came out and had an impressive first half from 9-6. It was quiet. It was nothing flashy, but he was working down low. And second half, he had 2 points, two rebounds. His last points came with 11 minutes and 36 seconds left in the second half. That's getting outcoached.
Yeah.
Utah pinpointed what Arizona was doing successfully. They took Chase Jeter out, and then they took Ira Lee out, and Arizona was screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a gave up a 2-18 run. And that's part on Sean Miller for not adjusting, not giving Arizona more ways to win outside of having your guys inside. And it's just too easy for opposing coaches to come in here. And look, Chris Stoyak has hyped up Arizona. He did so after the game today, saying, what he had said implied that there's still a target on Arizona's back. He spoke very highly of Sean Miller before and after the game. Every coach does. And maybe it's just something that's kind of commonplace now. You kind of have to do it. They've been the class of the Pac-12, and they will be moving forward in all likelihood. But, man, he's getting out-coached every single week.
Yeah.
Every single week. One way, I mean, however you look at it. But there's no excuse having 9-6 in the first half and then finishing with 11-8. There's just no excuse for it. I mean,
yeah.
Arizona has had such a hard time continuing what is successful for them, continuing what they do well. And that's not very often. They don't do very many things well. So when they have success, they need to find ways to keep hitting on it. Arizona should have gone to the locker room at half and go, okay, what are we doing well? Ira Lee's doing a lot well. He's doing well on the glass. Arizona was out rebounding Utah. They were taking care of the ball on the outside. They weren't turning the ball over seven times on Thursday night. They've taken care of the ball very well outside of the 20 they had against Washington. During the streak, they haven't had more than 9 turnovers in any game outside with the exception of Washington. And a lot of it goes to coaching. It's just too easy to shut these guys down right now.
One thing I was kind of impressed with Thursday night against Utah was there was one play in particular, and I think it was in the first half or it might have been early second. No, you said his only bucket in the second half came at the 11-minute mark.
11:36.
So it was definitely in the first half. He gave it down to Chase Jeter in the low post, and he was just standing wide open at the top of the key. I mean, he was just inside the three-point line, but he was standing wide open because he's not really known for being an outside shooter. He's this athletic forward that's going to get to the rim. He's athletic. He's going to kind of bully you around a little bit because he's got that body frame. Mm-hmm. Chase Jeter gave it right back to Ira Lee, and Ira Lee's like, well, you're going to leave me open. Why not? Flung that ball and went right in. And I said, okay, if Ira Lee can get his jump shot down, he's going to be a problem. And that's why I always say Ira Lee can be a similar player. And I use this comparison lightly, but his skill set.
I think I know where you're going with
almost
this.
Kind of reminds me of Blake Griffin.
Oh,
what did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to go like Derek Williams or something in Arizona. Right?
No. I mean, he's very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of Arizona's highest jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
He can dunk the ball. We saw that. He had a pretty sweet dunk against Utah in the first half. He's very athletic. He can rebound well. He's got those thick legs like Blake Griffin. And the only issue about Blake Griffin when he first got into the NBA is like, well, he can dunk, he can rebound, he's super athletic, but what can he do outside of those things? Because the NBA game is evolving. Basketball is evolving as we know it. And I think we're going to start to see Ira Lee's game evolve just a little bit over time. Last season, we really didn't see much out of him. This year, the more he plays, I feel like the more he gets better. And you can't disappear in the second half and close games, especially when Chase Jeter gets fouled out in the final 6 minutes of the game. That's when they needed Ira Lee the most, because Arizona, they were starting to chip away a little bit. Utah went on that run. They got a nice lead, but Arizona was slowly starting to chip away at that lead or at the deficit for them. Mm-hmm. They got to a point where they were only down by 6. They made the game kind of interesting in the last couple of minutes. I really should not disappear in that moment because his career high against Stanford. You remember this game, Dom. Mm-hmm. He had 12 points. And who was it that came in clutch down the stretch for the Arizona Wildcats?
Ira Lee.
It was Ira Lee. I thought he was going to have a similar game like that tonight, but we didn't see it against Utah. Now, with that being said, so we talk about the 6 minute mark when Chase Jeter fouled out. Arizona was in a little bit of trouble. Sean Miller did something that I had to rub my eyes and make sure that I wasn't seeing things. He took out the entire starting lineup and the new batch of guys that he had out. Matt Wayan, the walk-on, and former walk-on Jake Desjardins. Was Sean Miller throwing out the white towel? Was he waving the white flag saying, I give up at this point? But you can say that, but for some reason, it kind of sparked Arizona to make a little bit of a run and make the game a little bit interesting.
He might have not been intentionally throwing out the right white flag, but that's what it was.
It felt like it was
during the midst of that 18-2 run right at the end of it, and it was, the game was out of reach, it was it. So maybe Sean Miller's just looking for a spark. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts playing with the starting rotation a little bit here down the stretch. They've got nothing to lose. I mean, you gotta go win in Vegas, and you have to find some kind of spark going into Vegas to even have a shot to win a game there. You're gonna have to win four. So you gotta find a way to win four games in Vegas. If that's tinkering with the starting lineup, I'm not saying start Matt Wayne or Desjardins, but if you need to get Devin or Dutrieve, some more minutes, do it. If you need to get Alex Barcelos, who hit another three today, if you need to get him some more minutes, do it. Cause the guys up front aren't doing it. The brand names for Arizona, you know, the Brandon Williams, Brandon Randolphs, the Dylan Smiths who've been around for a few years now, they're not doing it. Ireley down the stretch was atrocious. He barely got a shot up. He didn't score at all. That's a problem on Ireley and on Sean Miller, especially when, like you said, when Jeter fouls out, which is just another problem. Chase Jeter's got to know better than that. And the depth is obviously an issue, but Chase Jeter's got to know better than that. He's got to play smarter.
Yeah.
And it's too easy for teams. Like, okay, Chase Jeter's in there. We know if Chase Jeter's out, then what else are they going to throw at us? So it's just too easy for them to go after guys like that right now. Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
It's bad. I mean, what else can you say about it?
It's bad.
You really look at Sean Miller and you talk about Ireley developing and becoming a better player, his game kind of developing, not into Blake Griffin. We're not making that comparison.
No.
We're not saying he's the next Blake Griffin or even remotely similar to him now. But he has that style. He's Arizona's most physical guy by far, I think. And he should be tearing up. I mean, he should be tearing it up on the inside on a nightly basis. He doesn't have the size necessarily as some of these other big power forwards. He doesn't have NBA size by any means. But what that requires, Justin, is a little bit of development from Coach Sean Miller. And we have not seen that. This is a repetitive script by now. Sean Miller can't develop players. He's a great recruiter, brings in great talent. I really is a great prospect. But he hasn't gotten much better. Mm-hmm. And he has so much potential, I think, possibly more than anyone on the team.
That's interesting. I'm trying to comb through and look through the past players under Sean Miller that have actually gotten better as the years gone by. The one I can think of is Nick Johnson, because he played 3 years. His junior year, he was an All-American at Arizona.
But see, he stayed for three years. So,
and he was already like a highly ranked recruit anyways.
Right.
But you look at, I'm trying to think of players that just really dropped off as they went on with their careers at Arizona. Mm-hmm. Jordan Mays is one where he had a really good freshman year.
He dropped off though.
Yeah. But do you pin that on players or Sean Miller and his lack of developing players? Because Sean Miller's a good recruiter.
He's one always of has the been. Best recruiters. This is what I've always said about this, Justin. I know you and I have probably had this conversation, probably on this podcast before. Sean Miller is one of the nation's best recruiters. He'll go toe-to-toe with any recruiter in the country. And he brings in a lot of great talent at Arizona. He had the number one recruiting class last year with DeAndre Ayton. He had the number one recruiting class next year. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, so we know he's a good recruiter. That's established. And then you have a team like this year when there's not that much talent, when Brandon Williams is your best player coming in, you have Chase Jeter, who's been around the program for a year, but has never played minutes for Arizona. You have all these pieces, Brandon Randolph, Dylan Smith, who could be good. They have potential. There were big recruits coming in. They've sat a little bit last year. Randolph, Smith, all these guys sat behind a lot of starters last year for Arizona. And on a team that doesn't have much talent, is it a coincidence that it's Arizona's worst year ever? Look, I know that sounds pretty straight up. They don't have a lot of talent and it's their worst year in decades. I get that, but a lot of that falls on the coach. You know, when he's not bringing in five-star players, they're not a good team. And even when he does bring in five-star players, what do they do? Lose in the first round to Buffalo? So, it goes both ways. Look, DeAndre Ayton was a great player coming out of high school. He was a great player at Arizona. But a lot of guys in last year's class, including Brandon Randolph was part of that, they don't develop. They don't get better. And I think you're seeing that even this year. Brandon Randolph's been in the program for almost 2 years now. He's getting worse. He's gotten worse this year. And I'm sure it's confidence and whatnot, but I mean, the coach has to develop, and it goes beyond, look, we don't have that much talent. We're not that good. He needs to coach right now. Mm-hmm. And in the worst Pac-12 conference in years, maybe ever, I don't know. Arizona's in 10th place. They're one of the worst teams. It is hard to do that. And that goes a lot on the coach. I'm sorry. That's a lot on the coach. These players have to get better, and they're not.
I don't know why I thought of. So you remember when Portland Trailblazers superstar CJ McCollum was tweeting something, and then a woman named Jennifer say, like, you guys need to win some playoff games and get to a championship, and then CJ McCollum quote tweeted and said, "I'm trying, Jennifer."
I'm trying, Jennifer.
I feel like Sean Miller, he's probably going to listen to this podcast and be like, I'm trying, Dom. I'm trying everything that I can. It's just they're not that good, man.
They're not that good, but that's partly on Sean Miller. I get that he's not working with a lot of talent, but is anyone else in the Pac-12? Nobody else is. Nobody else in the Pac-12 is, and Sean Miller's getting out-coached day in and day out, and it's showing right now because Arizona's in 10th place. Now alone in 10th place.
Man, it's...
Last time they finished in 10th place, Justin, was in, I think, the Ben Lindsay year of 82-83. Right before Lute Olson got here,
There was a coach before Lute Olson?
right? When they finished 1-17, 4-24, that Arizona team, the worst Arizona team in the history of Arizona basketball, that was the last time they're as low as they are right now.
Man.
If you're wondering, keeping track.
Man. They got they don't have Utah. They got Colorado Sunday night. It's going to be an interesting game, because if Arizona loses this one, a part of me feels like Arizona is going to come back to Tucson. They've already thrown in the towel. The season's already a wrap. They're looking forward to getting through the federal trial in April. And if Sean Miller comes out clean, who are they going to get as their assistant coach? Because although it hasn't officially happened yet, Mark Phelps, I guarantee you, is probably not going to be on the sidelines next season for Arizona as a part of the coaching staff.
Right.
So Arizona, they have a lot of things to get to outside of the season. And we've talked about this many times. Last year's team, they were able to fend off the FBI distractions and the cloud around the program because they were winning games. They had the best player, the best freshman in the country playing for the Wildcats. Arizona's first ever number one overall pick was playing for them. He was dominating college basketball. When you have that going on, it's easy to focus on just basketball. But when you're starting to lose games, and these guys, these players, I know they're on social media. They're on Instagram all the time. They're on Twitter. I see them active all the time.
Their confidence is at an all-time low.
They see the people that mm-hmm. are ragging on them because mm-hmm. I hate to say this, Arizona fans, they are so passionate. They are some of the most passionate fans in college basketball. But when things go south, they start saying, oh, this guy sucks. This player stinks. And they're calling it the way they see it. Mm-hmm. They can be a little bit harsh sometimes, mm-hmm. but anytime things go south, and we've seen this time after time after time, when Sean Miller loses in the NCAA tournament with teams that should go to the Final Four, it's always fire Miller. Why is this guy coaching Arizona? He can recruit, but he can never win with these guys. Mm-hmm. Arizona fans are so passionate about these kind of things. And when the players see that, their confidence is at an all-time low, and it's playing mind games with them, and they're getting to a point where they can't win games because they have all these distractions and all this outside noise coming into the program. And when they're not winning, it's really hard to start winning some games. And Arizona, it's like this double whammy of things going on right now where you kind of have to look at the season and say, well, this one's done.
And it was kind of the same thing as last year when, you know, Arizona did pretty well, weathering the storm throughout the season. And it was even worse last year than it has been this year because you got Buck Richardson going the entire year. We were in the heat of that. Sean Miller was suspended for a game. I mean, that's how dark the cloud was over Arizona last year. And they prevailed. They were good. They won the Pac-12 outright. And, went into Arizona, or went into the NCAA tournament as a pretty promising bet to win some games. And then they lose to Buffalo. It all kind of culminated, and I think it finally caught up to them. All the off-court issues, everything that, you know, the struggles that they had prevailed through for most of the year on the court and off the court kind of came to head in March in the tournament and didn't end pretty. This year, it's just, you know, they're not good enough to overcome those kind of things, like you said, and it hasn't been good. I mean, there's too much going on off the court and on the court, and the more games they lose, the harder it's going to be to snap this streak, because confidence is going down and down and down. Forget what all the fans are saying. If you take all that out of it, they're not hitting shots. They're not getting rebounds. The one thing they've done well, I've said this repeatedly, the one thing they've done well is take care of the ball. That doesn't mean anything if you can't make a shot, you know? The one thing Arizona did do well tonight, I don't know if I've already said this, they shot 52% from inside the three-point arc. 52% from two-point range. That's the best since we go back to Cal, their last Cal. I mean, at least maybe before then. They've been in the 30s during this entire losing streak before Thursday night. So they're not doing anything well, and they got to find some kind of strengths, whether it's Ira Lee when he's hot, whether it's, you know, just, we talk about Ira Lee getting hot, and when he was big in that down the stretch against Stanford.
Yeah.
What about Justin Coleman in Maui earlier this year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, we all thought he was 28 points against Gonzaga. We all thought that he was going to be, you know, the go-to guy for Arizona this year, and he's pretty much become a non-factor on offense. Again, it doesn't help that none of his other players can shoot. That doesn't help a point guard at all, but there's nothing going right for this team right now. There's literally nothing going right, and, you know, it makes it more difficult for everyone.
Real quick, we only have a couple minutes left here. I put out this tweet earlier. Which team would win? Because Sean Miller compares this team to his first year at Arizona. So I haven't felt like this since my first year at Arizona.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the starting lineup for that season was Nick Wise, Kyle Fox, Solomon Hill, Jamel Horne, Kirill Nyashko, or Derek Williams. I'm taking out Derek Williams because that's too easy, because Derek Williams will turn anybody on this year's Arizona team into barbecue chicken.
Might take him 1-on-5.
So Derek Williams is out of the equation, much like Brandon Williams is for this year's Arizona team. So this year's Arizona starting lineup, Justin Coleman, Brandon Randolph, Dylan Smith, Ryan Luther, and Chase Jeter. So you have Nick Wise, Kyle Fogg, Solomon Hill, Jamel Horne, and Kirill Nyashko versus Justin Coleman, Brandon Randolph, Dylan Smith, Ryan Luther, and Chase Jeter. I said, who would win in a game? Overwhelmingly, people have said the first team, Sean Miller's very first season at Arizona. And I kind of have to agree with them.
They can shoot. They can shoot. They have two shooters.
Kyle Fogg plays defense too.
They have two better shooters than anyone on Arizona in Kyle Fogg and Nick Wise. I mean, Kyle Fogg would hang 30 on them. I mean, he'd be one of those big numbers we were talking about earlier of opponents. He'd hang 30 on them easy. There's no one to guard him. Kirill, I mean, he's might not be better than Chase Jeter, but he's bigger than him.
Yeah.
And a lot bigger than him.
Chase, I feel like Chase Jeter would kind of have his day against Kirill Nyashko.
He's more physical, but Kirill Nyashko's bigger. 7 foot.
Yeah.
And we've seen that happen this year. But again, going back to how passionate Arizona fans, obviously, with how upset they are, how this season is going, they all, you know, jump to that first team. And they're not wrong.
You're getting caught
they're
up in the motion.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly,
what you're trying to
say. No, this second team is, this year's team is trash. And that that team who was just as bad in Sean Miller's first season is all is, you know, all of a sudden godsend. Mm-hmm. But
Because that season, they let Jimmer come in and
drop 30. Which we've seen this year. How many times in the last 2 weeks have teams dropped 30? They've had three 30-point games against them. With a lot of names lesser than Jimmer Fredette.
Mm-hmm. I think in the 1-on-1 matchups, Nick Wise and Justin Coleman, I think I'm going to give a slight edge to Nick Wise in that one.
Can score.
Kyle Fogg, Brandon Randolph. It depends on what Brandon Randolph shows up. Are we talking non-conference Brandon Randolph or conference Randolph? If it's conference Randolph, Kyle Fox putting the clamps on Brandon Randolph. Solomon Hill versus Dylan Smith.
Defense for days. I don't know if Dylan Smith would score.
I think, Solomon Hill can really just say, okay, Dylan Smith, do your thing, because what Dylan Smith are we getting at the same time? It's either the Dylan Smith that goes 3-for-3 in one game like he did against Utah last time around, or the Dylan Smith that goes 0-for-6. You know, so what Dylan Smith are we getting? And Solomon Hill.
Give me that first team.
Solomon Hill, yeah.
They're built on defense. Solomon Hill can lock up any player on this Arizona team. Size, height, position, I don't care what it is. You put Solomon Hill on and they're not scoring. And that's the overarching problem, is that Arizona doesn't have anything to fall back on. This year, their offense is as bad as it's ever been, and they don't have defense to fall back on. That's why they keep losing games.
Real quick. Does Arizona beat Colorado on Sunday night?
You'd be crazy to say yes, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, look, Colorado will be favored. I was surprised Utah was only 3.5 favorite on Thursday night. I think, I mean, look, until Arizona can score, they scored better on Thursday night, but an 18-2 run kills them. They can't play defense now, and I can't pick Arizona to win a game until they do anything remotely well on the court.
Bold prediction.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a Dylan Smith game winner.
Your mic is on fire.
It's going to be off a miss. Ryan Luther is going to get the rebound, and he's going to find Dylan Smith on the wing. Dylan Smith, three-pointer at the end of the game.
That's the hottest take we've had on here in a while. A six-game stretch, you're telling me Dylan Smith's going to hit a game-winning three-pointer.
Well, that'll do it for this episode.
Man, you know they can't hit a three. Man, you know it.
I'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Arizona takes on Colorado Sunday afternoon. You can follow the Wildcaster on Twitter for all your live in-game updates and all your coverage for Arizona Wildcast basketball, Arizona baseball getting started, and softball getting started this weekend. You know the Wildcast will have coverage. Also, give the Wildcaster Facebook page a like. And as always, make sure you download that free Wildcaster app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.